Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
That's more like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Truth Brothers Radio. Happy Monday, everybody. It's that time, and we got a nice one set up for you. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know y'all can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And as we speak, I'm logging into the chat room right now for your questions and comments on tonight's topics. Hello, family.
Hey, and everybody
Happy
knows
Monday.
That is the producer supreme, Candace.
Hello, hello. We're back to do it again.
Yeah, so how was everybody's week, weekend, whatnot?
Man, I had a pretty awesome week. I cannot even complain, man. I got a lot of stuff accomplished, mended some bridges, and who am I not to be happy for those things?
But they
right.
That's what's up.
I guess.
Candace?
I had a painful weekend. Still going through issues, you know, from my little accident, but other than that, I've been doing all right, I guess.
Don't worry,
right.
I'll do the church dance for you. We'll be all right. Get that fixed for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do the hallelujah.
Just
drink
watch
water while you're at it.
Pastor trying to come by and lay hands on you. Watch it.
Don't let him lay down. Put the cover over your
right.
Man.
Right. You know, your problem is you need to be born again.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, man, did we get into that, man? Did we ever get into that?
Yes, we did. We had a whole show.
I just, for those who don't know what we're talking about, man, it's a clip going around on YouTube. This pastor feels like the best way for you to be a great Christian is he has to lay on your man's back. And by back, butt. And then
hump
throw a blanket over him and your man, and whatever happens under the confessional stays in the confessional.
That's right, and he going to hump the sins away.
Oh, my God.
Hey, did you see that? Did you see how his back was arching? With Duke? Yeah, he was, that dude had a lot of sin in him. He had to go in there deep to get the sin out.
We can't let the sins escape through your booty, so we got to plug that up.
Oh, my
what do we
God.
Got here?
I can help you.
Yeah,
anyway, who we calling that, man?
Okay.
Please.
All right. First off, man, we got a lot of shout-outs today, so y'all got to bear with me. All right. We got to give a shout-out to Devon Scott, Sharice Greer, Sam Lee, Lonnie Irby, Tori Dukes, Xavier Scott, DeVere Patrick, what's going on, Janet, everybody at the gig, Kim, Angel, Gail, Ashley, Francis, Corey, Sabrina, Corey and Jennifer, what's up with y'all? Oh, got to give a special shout out and a thank you to my man B. Cole. Actually got a chance to go and see for his new movie he's doing, Slapbox King, and that joint is going to be funny for real. I actually got a good chance to go check it out.
Cool.
Thanks to him for that. Another one, man, to our boy over there, Jerry Kelly. I actually did get in contact. He's back. He's good. Everything's all right. So shout out to Jerry Kelly. All right.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Latasha Davis on her debut in her stage play School Days. They redid that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. School girl I went to school with. Absolutely. I heard she killed it. And to our boy, man, over there, Anthony Davis, soon to be at a New Orleans Pelicans. Don't know what that do for y'all, but, hey, the checks are clearing. And AD23 for his new Red Bull commercial, man. I just saw it off the chain.
Just another check.
Just because winning, because it's not for losers. That's
there
just, I don't understand how the man just keeps winning, but whatever. I'm thinking about growing me a unibrow.
If that's what it takes. That sounds like a nice YouTube clip. I want a win clip.
Yeah, but they say he's hiring people to just play songs behind him when he walks for no reason.
That's because every hero needs theme music. That's right.
Yep, he is the Jack of Spades. Anyway. And for DJ's B-Days, we got Michael Spellers, Tiffany Redmond, Corin Allen, Craig Combs, Mikal Moore over there at Grown Soul. What's up? Happy birthday, bro. Marcus Williams, Sade Bean. And as we all know that this past week, Trayvon Martin would have had his 18th birthday. So definitely got to, again, send our condolences out to his family and everybody. And yeah. You know, we love everybody, don't we?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And you know what? Before we jump into anything, man, this is going to be a really, really, really big show, man. We put it out to everybody. We jump into this second hour topic dealing with Mr. Officer Nightstick. We want to hear everybody's comments. Everybody got an Officer Nightstick story. So this is your chance to put it out into the universe and get it out there.
No doubt.
But before we do that, we got to jump in a little something that we call the terrible truth.
This is the terrible truth with your terrible anchors, Ray and the Bomb.
Greetings and salutations. This is Kid Clark of the Terrible Truth. This portion of the Terrible Truth is brought to you by Monica Lewinsky's Blue Dressing Mayonnaise. Now for under the table.
And also Uncle Ben's Hairy Back Tossed Fruit Salad. And Uncle Ben's, they are bringing Harry back. New Bronco. I'm glad to see she's spreading her wings.
Yeah, you know, they just had to get something for that mayonnaise, so, you know. Don't know if I want it. They say it costs a bill. But,
right.
I was waiting on a rim shot.
Yeah,
get
I could. Hey, we got so much stuff, man. It's hard to find it.
All right.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
There you
all
go.
Week. Yay. Try to limit. So... this story was actually brought to us by one of our listeners, Mona. She said, hey, she sent it to me, and I told her I'd definitely read this on the air. A patient breaks wind during surgery, burns his genitals.
There you go, that spicy food to do it every time.
Yeah, check this out. A patient broke wind while having surgery and set fire to his genitals. The 30-year-old man was having a mole removed from his ass. That's what it says. I got to read the story as it comes, okay? The 30-year-old man was having a mole removed from his ass with an electronic knife when his attack of was ignited by the spark. His genitals, which were soaked in surgical spirits, caught fire.
Surgical spirits. You can find that at your Foremost Liquors.
Ball liquor. The man who later sued the hospital said, when I woke up, my penis and scrotum were burning like hell. Besides the pain, I can't have sex with my wife. Surgeons at the hospital in, I don't even know what the hell, Kajellups, Denmark, said that it was an unfortunate accident.
Yeah, unfortunate, but it's going to be a big for him. There you go.
Oh, yeah. You got them burning balls of fire, and then you think, yeah, he's going to get paid. He will get a healthy dose of ball rejuvenance.
Wow.
Man, all the money he finna get, he can buy. You know how they putting pig hearts and monkey hearts in people?
That must be. Man, the mole on his behind must have been a monster.
That's who. Okay, look here. This is. It's time for me to go into something real quick. I don't want to say everybody, but if you got a mole, and it ain't, it's not a hemorrhoid, it's just a, it's a big beauty mark, right?
It's got to be bad, though, if your wife's like, no, you need to go and get that looked at.
Right.
Say, it feels like a bad.
It must be grotesque.
It must, yeah. She, every time, she like, it looked like you didn't wipe right. No, get it off.
But it.
Keep winking at me.
You know what? I'm trying not to go, because I don't, if it's on the outside, just on the cheek, you pass that. You, hey, you know what? This is how God made me. That's what you wrote.
Yeah,
that's what you said.
Hairs growing out on it and
this
stuff.
This is it.
This is
it.
If
I started talking.
Do you feel filled up? This is it. That's all you can
ew.
Do. But I'm just, the mold doesn't seem like, first off, if I'm getting the mole removed, why are you soaking my testicles in surgical spirits? That sounds like
protection, I guess.
I don't know.
Supposed to numb it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
818-514-1202. Any of our medical people out there, if you want to tell us what the... I've never heard of surgical spirits, but I swear it seemed like something that they drink
flammable.
On the corner.
Right, whatever it is, it's flammable. Maybe the mole was his fart button.
Right, like pull my finger.
Yeah.
Press
maybe
my
it was
button.
A scratch and sniff. They scratched
right.
it and he blew one at him.
Right.
Dang, that must have been some serious gas, boy.
I mean, for you to fart and light a spark?
Yeah,
that's,
dude. That's
methane. A lot of methane.
Was he drinking unleaded?
Mean?
Like,
hey,
they,
you can go on. You know,
him,
you can
hey,
go on
you
YouTube
need to avoid
right
these
now.
Foods. Don't eat cabbage. Don't you know? Or certain things that might cause you to be gassy.
Because
it's
you
a
go
good
on
chance
YouTube right
you might
now, and you can
burn
see a
up
whole bunch
junk.
Of people who lighten their farts. You see them on
well,
YouTube
yeah,
all
seen
the time.
That on Fail Blog.
Right,
but who? Okay,
so
I've
then you apply
Jamaican
some
fire.
Gasoline to it. Guess it can happen.
Whatever. It just sounds stupid to me. First off, a mole on your booty ain't that serious, dog. That's all I'm going to say to you.
Guess
it's not
depends
that serious.
On the mole.
Well, I don't know, man. It depends on what that joker look like now. If it look like a doggone meatball with hair growing out of
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying,
I'm
going right. to
feel some kind of way about it, too.
Right. Or maybe
right,
he thought
no,
he was getting ass cancer
I can't keep looking at
something.
This thing.
But if you think you're getting ass cancer... And they come to you and say, oh, nah, sir, you're all right. You just got a ugly ass.
Right, but for them to do that, they got to take a piece of the mold to test it. Maybe that's what they were doing.
Nah, they say he was getting it removed. He wanted it off. Maybe he thought that's what have made him pretty. I don't know. But
well, maybe it kept getting caught in his underwear or something.
Right,
yeah,
right.
He's trying
or,
to pull up and that
he
elastic.
He never could go to the beach.
Well, it depends on where you're going. I mean, if you got trunks on, you just can't go to a nude beach.
Yeah, maybe his trunks. Maybe he wanted to wear them Speedos, and it just made an abnormal lump back there.
Maybe it was a boil.
Right.
Now, if it was a boil, he had a problem.
Ew.
They not so hot with the leaving when you get a boil. That's right.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. Well,
boil doesn't like to be touched.
Boil doesn't it's like to be
talking.
Bothered. Don't bother the boil.
Like my man off Timmy Turner. The boil doesn't like to be touched. Oh, good time.
Oh, anyway. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into this first break. We'll jump into this first break, and we'll come back with some more terrible truth, boils and all.
Truth Brothers Radio.
The new moon rode high in the crown of the metropolis, shining like who on top of this? People was tussling, arguing and bustling. Gangsters of Gotham, hardcore hustling. I'm wrestling with words and ideas. My ears is pricked. Seeking Feel what will transmit, described in a plot transcript. Yo, this ain't no time where the usual wanna suit them all.
Truth Brothers Radio.
It's a career that lasts a lifetime. A career where you're always on the winning team. Put your skills to work in the military.
I was on the streets, in a gang, shooting people and running drugs. Now, I'm making something of myself. I kill people and run drugs for the CIA.
In this job, you not only help yourself, you help your country. Only in the military would a teenager be given responsibilities like driving a nuclear submarine, maneuvering a tank, or dropping high ordnance explosives. Make a change for yourself in the military.
I was in college constantly getting into pointless fights I didn't understand about nebulous concepts and belief systems. I got tired of arguing about what's right, so I dropped out of college and joined up. Now I know I'm right in the military.
Learn confidence.
I was having fantasies about stabbing people. Now I can do it for my country.
Live the military life. Positions are unexpectedly vacant every day. In fact, I'm about to give up my well-paid job as a voiceover actor in order to sign up and be shouted at by a lot of sexually confused skinheads. I want excitement, and what could be more exciting than shitting yourself while getting shot at in the jungle? Certainly beats sitting in this booth all day. Be number one. Turn your life around in the military.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio, we're back. Back with the terrible truth.
And there you go.
Terrible stories.
All right. Well, here's one for you guys. Woman killed man with her breasts.
What a way to leave.
What a way to go.
I know, right?
Woman killed man with her breasts. A 50-year-old U.S. woman has been accused of manslaughter after she allegedly used her breasts to suffocate her boyfriend.
Nothing wrong with that.
Washington woman Donna Lang smothered a man who lived with her by lying on his face during a drunken fight. The county sheriff's office said at 12:45 a.m. on Saturday, deputies was called to a trailer park, of course, after reports of a disturbance, and found three women, a man, and a victim heavily intoxicated at the scene. Paramedics performed CPR on the alleged victim, but he was later pronounced dead at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Police documents said witnesses saw Lang throw her boyfriend inside the home before he was heard begging for her to get off of him. The witness said Lang was later found on top of the victim. The couple had reportedly been arguing earlier that night. Lang appeared to have a recent injury to her face and told police that she did not know how her boyfriend died.
Swear to God.
The victim was about 2 feet taller than Lang, but she was about 20 pounds heavier.
Mm-hmm. And I bet that was 10 pounds each.
There you go.
What size bra did she wear? Did they say?
They did not say.
But indeed,
needless to say, she wasn't an A cup.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't.
She had to have the tools for the job. And bee stings don't kill you.
Yeah, like I said, they was I'm sure they was D's for dead, because that's where he ended up.
Double D's.
Yeah.
Make sure he's dead.
Nah. Had to be bigger than that.
Yeah, she was probably sucking MJ.
For suffocation reasons. I don't know if I'm happy or sad about that story, man.
Yeah, hey. Personally, if I gotta die doing something you love.
There you go.
You gotta go.
That ain't my cup of tea. Not my favorite area. But hey, you know, I'm just saying. that ain't my cup of milk, let me say then.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Right. So,
I'm
so,
more of a
so,
chocolate factory.
So how do you want to go out?
Yeah, like I said, I'm more of a chocolate factory man myself.
Yeah,
but
so you want death by badonkadonk, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If I got to go, I ain't got no worries.
I hate that song.
Yeah.
Look at the smile on his face when he was happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure them, they was laid in it. Man, I don't know how to feel about that right now.
Yeah.
Because considering the
yeah.
fact that
and nobody
leave.
Went in there and helped him because they said they could hear him screaming, get off me, please get off me.
Now, I would have to see the woman. That's the only way I would have to see what the woman looks like.
Right. We're not talking about the one with that beauty mole and the unfiltered Marlboros in her mouth.
Right.
That
we
never
not,
leaves her lips.
My Dukes.
Right. Right, and she tells the cop to kiss her ass. No.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm curious about how this woman looks. For the simple fact is, if she was worth dying, now I don't want to say worth dying for, but if she was worth, hey, yeah, I'm gonna put these on you and kill you.
Right.
So he took that
right.
as a challenge.
Right. There's a particular way to go. At the same time, you're right. I mean, I don't want the church lady. You know, them
yeah.
church lady breasts, yes, they're big, but they're
Mama
not,
Easter
no.
hat. Yeah,
no.
You don't want Mama Easter hat coming at you.
Right, right.
Oh, my God.
Right, yes. Church lady does,
yeah,
they are huge, but that's not what you're looking for.
I just don't like when they don't wear bras at the church and they catch the spirit. I just,
and
don't
they
make
just
feel
be knocking and bumping. Yeah.
And they not, and it's like, they not coordinated. One, they all got their own mind. One goes one way and the other goes the other. Like, no. Nah.
Yeah, physically.
That's what happened when you come all loosed up in church. Like, you know, I remember, like, I haven't been to church in a long good time. And the last time I went, it was just women just going in there all loosed with the breasts and no, and just
yeah. No, I told you as a child, man, I got beat by a lady catching the Holy Ghost in the pew, and she beat the hell out of me. And yeah, she was packing them double K's. Yeah,
there you go,
them church K's.
Yeah, nothing. See that? Yeah, you're right. There are. See, you got Special K brand, and then you got church K's.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'd rather eat the cereal because I don't want to deal with them church K's.
Right,
church K's is. I hate. Yeah,
right.
Sorry,
I mean, you got heavy chested ladies that's sexy. That's a yes, nice,
yes,
beautiful.
Speaking
and
of
then
that,
you,
I'm sorry.
Right, and then you have
mind.
You have the one that got that Bible between them.
There you go. The one, like, when they got the low cut top, look like Moses should be standing in the middle with the staff.
Yeah, and
yeah.
got that cleavage line that's just way too long.
Yeah, you know, like,
uh-huh.
At a certain point, shouldn't that just be a law against that? Like, lady, your line looks like kids can skateboard on it. Like,
really?
Yes. Look, every man can appreciate a nice cleavage line. That's sexy. But when you got one that looks just that looks like I-57, that's no.
When it looks like somebody's drawing a line from your chin to your navel, that's a problem.
Right, right, right. Like they could, like if they slid open, it would be a door. No.
Right. It looks like it should be a doorbell right around your aurelas.
Aurelas.
That's what I call it. Your Oriella. Yeah.
What the hell? I don't know what
the. I don't think I have one of those.
Yes, one of those.
Your Oriellas, man.
I don't think I have that.
Yeah, this portion of the Two Brothers is brought to you by Oriellas. Reach into that bag if you want to.
The only cookie with a rock at the top. That's me.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm at.
That's what I call them. You know, I was a kid and I could never say the other word when I was a kid, a young one. So that's just it's something that stuck with me. I used to
obviously.
Always say.
Oriella. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, everybody got Oriellas.
Yeah, no.
No.
Sound like a dirty cologne, don't it, Oriella? Sound like Brad Pitt. Sound like Brad Pitt should be talking in the background for that.
Right. Right.
Oh my God.
That
sounds
like
okay.
something Grace Jones got.
Yeah. But the good cleavage have. Did y'all again? I don't want to get. You know, I know it's tip two. I got something, but. Did y'all see what Jill Scott had on at the Grammys yesterday?
See, that's
sweet.
A good one. Yes,
yeah.
That's good. Yes.
Sweet burning bush
yes.
of Jesus, that girl looked nice.
Yes. If I got to die, that's
yes,
how I want
did.
To die.
Good Lord of everything that is holy in my face, I swear, man.
Yeah.
Good
man.
Great.
Yeah. Man, I would love to see her, Ariella. That's okay, I quit.
Tell me.
Trashy. Moving
didn't
on.
You just say that.
All right.
Right.
I don't think she got one. But if she do, I'd kiss her.
I don't think she's supposed to have just
okay,
one anyway.
So
she's supposed to have
we're,
two.
We're
going to
move on. I have
okay,
a cross-dressing porn store-owning Catholic priest who is busted in a meth ring.
Wait.
Oops,
say that
again.
One more again?
Yeah.
Cross-dressing porn store owning Catholic priest busted in meth ring.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, that all sounds right.
I heard that the Pope resigned today.
Because of this story.
He did.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
This is never a good sign, but sources knowledgeable with the case said that the situation went deeper than the diocese officials will publicly admit. A cross-dressing Catholic priest who had been suspended by church officials after he was found to be having sex with men in the rectory was arrested by police for alleged dealing crystal meth.
Right in the rectory.
In the rectory. Moving
right
along.
In the rectory, pinching the Orialis.
Moving right along, the arrest occurred January 3rd, some 7 months after Monsignor Kevin Wallen had been relieved of his duties at St. Augustine Cathedral in Bridgeport, Connecticut. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Bridgeport was still paying him a stipend, according to the reports.
Well, of course.
During his post-priesthood life, the 61-year-old bought a porn shop called Land of Oz that sells sex toys and X-rated DVDs.
There you go.
Now, there has got to be a special layer of hell, if there is such a thing, that this joker is going to.
Mm-hmm.
You're cross-dressing, you own a porn store, and you're selling meth?
Yep, he got the
priest
section over there.
Being a priest don't even qualify. We expected that because you was a priest.
Yeah.
Just
now you cross-dressing, and you come into your store dressed as Dorothy, wondering what's the problem. Yeah, come. Yep, do you like to eat? America loves to eat. Come in here.
Oh, God.
Come in here and watch me get down. Yep. And if you come in Tuesday at 7, that will be priest banana smashing.
There you go. There you go.
And they
still paid him because you got to keep the meth payments up.
You just chose all the wrong answers, man.
Wow.
He chose everything wrong. Like, come on, man. Why? Who? Now, first
That's
off, let's just take it out. I'm not upset that you own a porn store. That's not even the issue. If I could, I'd own one. I'm not going to lie.
As a priest?
No. First off, yes, priest. I mean, look here. Y'all, well, we fail to realize the priests are people, too. They just like little boys. That's all it is, too. I would be a priest, personally. I wouldn't personally be a priest. That ain't my That ain't my cup of bill to be a priest. But if I could, I mean, you got to look in the society you walking around in, sex is selling. So if I could own a porn store, I would. No, now, but you can't do that. There's a moral conflict when you're a priest condemning fornication, when you turn around like, hey, got them self-jack-off things in the corner. Y'all might want to check those out. Like, you can't do that. You got the glory hole section over there. That's
wow. Well, okay. Let's get another break in, and then we will get right back into this story. 818-514-1202. Let's see what you guys got to say about the business priest freak. True Brothers Radio.
True Brothers Radio.
Caught in legal problems, faced with serious issues that threaten your job, marriage, or political career? Here at Nielsen's Assassinations, we offer a wide variety of services to get you out of even the most difficult circumstances. Established in 1963, we still offer the highest quality hits at competitive rates. We pride ourselves in always giving you the most professional services with a wide array of options. We are the only assassination firm licensed in the use of incendiaries and trained ninjas. Our work is guaranteed to be discreet and completely untraceable. We can mop up your little messes and you reap the benefits from the comfort of your own home while avoiding any legal hazards. Call us today for your free, no-hassle consultation. Your enemies will be sad that you did. And Nielsen's Assassinations,
we kill for you.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sithy.
Let us the word to phrase, the paragraph. Heed masters, J begins class. The science of past is now brought to the rhyme space from the scrolls, state of the birthday. God's a God, from God's a man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist for my hand. Call me militant. Now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun?
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back. We're still in the terrible truth.
Man.
Where I just read an unbelievable story.
Man,
there you go.
Am I the only one that just had to sit down from doing the kid and play dance after listening to that break, man?
Man!
Did I just have to
take you back
or what? I just got up, me and the dog over here.
I almost forgot I had to do the intro.
Right.
Oh, right. Also, the chat room is up and running. I'm sorry, that's on me. I forgot to launch it, kind of, sort of.
Well, there it is.
I know. That's why I'm not nominated for Producer of the Year. That's exactly why I'm not.
Yeah, me either.
Doom, doom, doom. I just feel like that one. Anyway.
Yeah, good luck to Devon on that, because, yeah, we rooting for y'all now. I'll see you take home the gold for that, dude.
It's a major award.
It is. It's a major award. Now, you know, it's been so hard producing all this time, man, you know. Trying to keep everybody in line, you know. It's a hard job being a producer. And I'll be sure to thank the little people like y'all when I get it, you know.
There you go. People like Candace.
Right.
Yeah.
The little people like
Candace. Yeah, the tiny, the Thumbelina-sized people.
Yeah.
Such as,
there you
know,
go.
Myself.
Though you were the best co-host we've ever had.
Yeah,
yay.
Candace, that's right. That's right.
It's a major award.
a major award.
But yeah, those,
and when
those
you win,
awards.
You get to
but
thank
my legs
little
look
people
better,
too. Make sure you thank all the people you stepped on your way to the top.
Right.
Like Devon.
Gotcha.
Yep. The producer supreme with the sexy voice. Okay. So dig in.
Oh, man.
Hey, I got one story for y'all, if y'all don't mind. Can I hit y'all with this real quick?
Well, if you're going to do it, you know, just bump me out of the way. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying. Go ahead, man.
No, go ahead, bro.
Okay. Y'all going to like this one. Rihanna Noel earned her boyfriend's loyalty the old-fashioned way by beating his conquest to the ground with a tire iron.
His conquest?
Wait, his what?
Yeah.
Is it what I think it is?
Yeah, anyone he got, she made sure she
dealt
with.
Oh, okie doke. I thought you were talking about his car.
No. No, you're right.
I did, too. I thought
Mitsubishi.
What's the conquest?
Right.
It's 79, Mitsubishi
right.
Conquest.
Stamford, Connecticut.
Of course.
Rihanna Noel, a 23-year-old Greenwich woman, was arraigned Tuesday after she allegedly knocked a woman's teeth out with a tire iron before fleeing the scene. Yeah. According to police, officers were dispatched after receiving a report that a woman had just been attacked in front of the Liberation House, a local drug treatment facility. So
well,
you see what we're dealing with here.
Okay, yeah.
Arriving officers found the victim who had just been beaten to the ground and teeth knocked out. She was taken to a local hospital where she was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. During the questioning, the victim was forced to type her responses because she couldn't talk.
Yep, secure smile wasn't it.
There you go. She told detectives that she began receiving threatening... Damn. She began receiving threatening calls shortly after meeting a man a week before. On the day of the incident, the woman identified as Rihanna approached her with a tire iron and stated, "I told you not to mess with my man." Flashed light
Brown
on
alone.
The ground. That's when she began beating the victim. Witnesses at the scene reported a car had been parked across the street from the Liberation House for at least an hour prior to the attack. The victim later picked Rihanna out of a police lineup. She was charged and booked on first-degree felony assault. The boyfriend has no comment.
Of course, Chris Brown was at the Grammys yesterday. Why would he?
Man. I teach you not to mess with my man.
Here's my thing.
Yes.
You slapped her with a tire, right? Knocked out all of her cuspids, right? Then she,
yes.
I could not have been there when they was asking her questions and she say, Momo, Mimi's a maple. He went with the Momo, Mimi, some maple.
Ma'am, can you tell us what
and
happened? Ma'am, can you tell us what happened? What? Oh, I see. The evidence
that's
is all on the ground.
That's a neighborhood who can translate for her.
Yep.
Right.
She went full
Sammy,
better.
Come over here.
She went full do the right thing on you, G. Like... God, who slapped
yes,
somebody
sir.
With a tire iron, man?
There you go.
I bet the Mario sound came up, too. You know how when Mario gets a free man and get the mushroom to get bigger?
Yeah.
I bet that probably popped out.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure actual comic sound effects came out of that. Smack. Bam.
Oh, man. Nah, I've been on charge like when he hits that star.
Oh,
Mario hits the star.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd have been on fire. I'd have told her
Every time she hit her, a mushroom popped up.
Right. That is. Who does that, man? Like,
yeah.
Really, I got to get this out before we get into this thing.
Okay.
Hold on. Check this out. Freestyle and Jailbird spits rhymes to judge doing court hearing, right?
Because that'll get you probation. That will drop the... Oh, man, your flow is crazy. Drop them charges.
Sean Carter. Look, it takes a true lyricist or someone unconcerned about his or her future to rhyme his way through it. To rhyme his way through an arraignment in which he was accused of violent crimes and facing up to 90 days in jail. Though Fox 2 News Detroit reports that an inmate addressed the judge by spitting rhymes during his video arraignment at Macomb County 37th District Street in Warren, Michigan, on Tuesday, when Judge John Charma addressed Collius Moon about the charges against him, the wannabe rapper responded with a freestyle. He rapped about people trying to put it, quote unquote, put it on me, amongst other things during the hearing.
Right in the record.
According to the Associated Press, the charges against Moon include two felony malicious destruction of fire or police property and restraining or obstructing a police officer. Judge Charma was impressed with Moon's skills, but it didn't take a well. Way the opinion of him.
There's always
bit.
A but.
There you go.
I think you are someone from whom the public needs to be protected, Charma said.
After hearing those rhymes.
You might be a dangerous person. I am very much concerned about a risk of flight. Sources told Fox 2 News that Moon, 26, is accused of texting violent threats, restraining resisting arrest, various traffic violations, and disorderly conduct. When the judge was trying to determine whether Moon wanted to hire his own attorney or prefer a court-appointed one, he responded with another rhyme.
There you go. There you go. Hold on, Your Honor.
We got bullhorn.
Drop the beat.
Drop it. The lights dim. The disco ball came down.
I need a Lloyd.
Lights went off.
The lights went out, right. The spotlight went on him.
Right. And he went full LL.
Everybody in the gallery started going, oh.
And he started full LL. When I'm alone in my cell, I sit and stare at the wall.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
That's the beat I had in my head.
And then he finished. He crossed his arms and the light came on and the judge just stood there, looked at him, and said,
"A boo! Boo on you, sir!"
Now lock his ass away.
He's a public threat.
Oh, yes. They call me threat.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, who starts freestyling for your life?
I don't think that was wise of my man Moon, man. Then the judge
they tried
said,
to put it on me in here, Your Honor.
They trying to go banana smashing on me. But yeah, then the judge said, "All right, Mr. Moon, the show's over."
Right. Are you finished now?
Now he had to have dropped the mic.
God. The only thing would have been funnier is if the judge would have spit back at him.
Yeah.
That would have been funnier.
Yeah.
Man.
Don't know what he would have said, but it would have been,
It still, it don't matter. It would have been funny.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That is totally crazy.
Looks like somebody getting raped tonight.
Right.
That's what the judge said.
Right. The judge would have stood up. Hey, son, what you think I'm lazy? Lock his ass up and make him kiss the baby.
Oh, my God.
Then drop the gavel. Sideways.
Drop the gavel on him, right.
Then turned his back and threw the deuces up. Just Charma out.
Now, just the deuces out of him.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, God.
That is a shame. That's your criminal justice system.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay, I guess I'll go into my story.
Yes, ma'am.
That is something else. A missing woman unwittingly joined search party for herself. A group of tourists spent hours Saturday night looking for a missing woman near Iceland's Elgja Canyon, only to find her among the search party. The group was traveling through Iceland on a tour bus and stopped near the volcanic canyon in the southern highlands Saturday afternoon, reports the Icelandic news organization. One of the women on the bus left to change her clothes and freshen up. When she came back, the busmates didn't recognize her. So there was a word of a missing passenger. The woman didn't recognize the description of herself and joined the search party.
Wow.
About 50 people searched the terrain by vehicles and on foot. The Coast Guard was even readying a helicopter to help. But the search was called off about 3 a.m. when it became clear the missing woman was, in fact, accounted for and searching for herself.
I don't know where this bitch is. I don't know where she at.
Damn, I hate Barbara.
Wasting all our time. That must have been a bad picture.
50 people didn't recognize you?
Or she ugly.
Yeah.
She ugly.
Fellas, we out here looking for Sasquatch. Gonna be a long night. She kind of looks like that lady over there peeling the banana with her toes. She kind of looks like her. Get out here and find this zoo monkey.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Ugly people offend me. That's it.
Oh, my
oh,
God.
Oh, wow.
Let's get out.
They
all right, so
let's
bring it in.
Oh,
we
wow. Out here I'm going to chalk it up. That picture had to just be terrible. She didn't recognize it herself.
I'm assuming they gave a verbal description. They're
yes,
on a trip,
they did,
so.
Though.
Right.
It's a lady out here looking like her name is Wallace.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Let's just find her. Yeah,
oh,
looks,
you know how
mad
I was.
Kind of like the lady with the mole.
Right. The whole trip gets just put on pause. Everybody's looking around. Everybody cold.
Right.
Looking
Hard
around. And you know there was
Nobody
some dude who was setting
count?
It up,
I mean,
right?
If you had a head count, you would have noticed she ain't missing.
Right.
Yeah,
everybody
they didn't
the
recognize her. They didn't recognize her. And
it was some dude who had the whole thing.
Had some girl set up, was been putting his thing down the whole weekend. And just when he about to close the deal, wait a minute, Broomhilda's missing.
Yeah, but no, all jokes, that is true because I was coming back from college in Mississippi and we caught the Greyhound back. And this girl, well, woman, got on the bus and we had the first stop, whatever, I forgot where we were at. We were some part of either coastal Missouri or Tennessee. And the lady got off the bus. Dude said, hey, 3 minutes. Grab y'all something from the vending machine. Get back on the bus because we peeling out. So we do all our thing and we get ready to go. We looking around. The bus driver's gone. We on the road. This lady is still in the bathroom changing her entire outfit. Like putting new makeup on and everything. But she was a little touched by an angel. She was a little touched. But we wound up going like 400 miles down the road. And we had to turn around and go get her. And she was when we
You
picked
had,
her
they
up,
had to go get her?
Yep, we had to go back and pick her up. When we picked
her
up,
man.
She was sitting on her suitcase. Just in broad, like, literally just sitting there, and it was like dark by the time we got back there.
Oh, man.
Dude asked her, what did you do? Like, you know, what did you do the entire time we was gone for 400? I told you. Just go in there and grab you something. We getting right back on the bus. She was like, oh, I thought you meant change your clothes.
I'd have kept going. She'd have got left. I'd be like, I'm not turning this bus around. It's no way.
Why?
No way.
Because the messed up part was, I knew she wasn't on the bus, and me and my cousin knew she wasn't on the bus. We just were laughing. Like, oh, well, I got to get back to Chicago. But the lady, her overheard me and my cousin laughing. She gets up and go tells the bus driver, hey, I think we left somebody. And he was like, are you serious? And then he was like, yeah. So he pulled the bus over to the shoulder, did the count, and that's when he was like, God, he's like, he kind of had that, we're going to jail now. And And yeah, but that was one of them. Yeah, that does happen though. But yeah, we didn't lose a good woofer bell. We didn't lose one of those.
Right.
So,
well,
I think I accidentally on purpose lost that.
Yeah, with 10 minutes left, man, we're about to jump into this topic of Officer Nightstick, and we're gonna have our special guest on this week. It's our retired police officer Theo Brooks. And if you guys remember him, he was with us when we did our Trayvon Martin episode. And he was the cop who just told it how it is, point blank. So I thought he would be perfect for this episode. But have you guys heard about the cop that's on the run in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. That's the hottest thing in America right now.
Yeah. So that, hey.
Just like LL Cool J, don't he?
Yeah.
I think he looked like Ruben Studdard.
Damn.
Either way,
he got them nervous, man. You know, they got $1 million reward out for him.
Yes,
they ain't put $1 million out for serial killers before. And they put $1 million out on him. They are worried about what he going to say.
Oh, yeah. He knows where all the draws are hit.
Yeah.
He knows where all the dirty draws
are.
And, hey, I'm all for him. Hey, I'm rooting for him. I know now. We know when they catch him. Number 7 with a twist.
Yeah.
They're offering him on sight.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they said the police had over 600 sightings of him over the course of the day today because people are trying to get that money. Why would they put $1 million on this dude? Unless they worried about what he got to say.
And
also, we got a copy of his manifesto up on the on our Facebook page. So everybody go check that out and bring a lunch because it's long.
Yeah. But my thing is, man, if they're willing to put that much money on him, he must have something that'll wake people up about what's really going on.
Right. Because in his manifesto, he dropped a lot of names.
If you're willing to turn the man in for the money...
Oh,
and I get it. I know it's hard out here for some people, and I understand that you know you want to do your thing, but your morals got to kick in somewhere. I ain't gonna lie.
But I mean, you got some people who don't know no better. I mean, not that they ignorant. I'm saying that they don't know the full story of what's going on, and they just hear on the news that this dude is wanted, and it's $1 million reward, and you see the dude. You gonna call. You may not know what's all the details of what's going on with them.
Right.
And that's why they threw that out there. They want every 85er just looking. That ain't one of them. They wanted their eyes glossed over for the news. They wanted their full attention.
Yeah.
We got a incoming comment from something we had posted earlier in Truth Brothers on our website. That breaking news about I love the fact that we so interactive now.
Right.
Breaking news that everybody knows the story of Hadiyah Pendleton, the girl who was at the inauguration and got killed.
Yeah,
Hadiyah. They just found two people. They just charged two people with the murder: an 18-year-old boy named Michael Ward and a 20-year-old boy named Kenneth Williams. Yeah, so that's just breaking news that has just came in from True Brothers, and yeah, we thank everybody who, you know, again, is interactive with us, man. We really appreciate that.
No doubt.
And condolences out to her family. I know we didn't really get into that, so, you know, again. But back to
Chris.
Yeah.
Prefer.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I just think, you know, nothing. This thing isn't happening under a bubble. It's not happening in a bubble, and they put that high profile out reward out for him for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they trying to get him caught. They want him caught up.
And that's what I'm saying. Like that's like you were saying, bro. Want $1 million? They will give you $1 million for this one man. That come on, man.
That's what I'm saying. Right. And all these serial killers, all these drug dealers, all these people, these
mm-hmm.
gun runners on the run, you ain't seen nothing like that. And they dropped this million out there quick as hell.
Right. Like
they dropped it out there quick as hell.
The way it was, when I was reading the story yesterday morning or whatever the case may be, they were saying that it started off with, hey, man, this dude is crazy. Then it started off to look. The LAPD was like, look, man, we surrender. Just turn yourself in. Then it went from, look, he knows stuff. Put $1 million out on him because we need this.
That's what it is.
And
yep.
I'm like,
dude,
they just
skilled.
Went through
he's
the
highly
whole,
trained.
Yeah. They went through the whole, what was that? What's the seven stages of what was that? What's that? Seven stages or whatever. Agree. And they went through the whole thing in three stages. Like, man, I've never seen. I know gang leaders that didn't have $1 million on their
exactly, head. Exactly. People who are just detrimental to the community, and they had no problems with not putting anything out for them. But guess
but
what?
Our
special
of,
guest
of,
just logged into the building.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get ready to jump into this thing. So we come back in the second hour, we're going to go ahead and get in the office of Nightstick, and we definitely want everybody out there to tell us your story, Truth Brothers Radio.
I'm saying to you that we are here today to address the black agenda, an agenda that deals with the needs and suffering of our people.
On the
who?
On
can you tell me what's going on?
On everything.
I don't have a warrant for my arrest. What I do last night?
He didn't spray them, maced them, tased them. He just pulled up on us. Jumped out the car and maced him. Get on your ass. He laying down. He steady macing him. Got the taser out and shit. Ain't done nothing. We ain't done a damn thing. Got the taser light on him right now. He ready to tase him right now. I mean. You see that? Did you see that?
He kicked him in his chest.
Kicked him in his chest.
Oh, my God.
That's how we operate.
Oh, my God.
Put his hands behind his back. You don't tell me.
That don't mean he got a kick.
Oh, my God.
On the ground.
You lying, man. I ain't even been around here. You fucking lying.
I'm about to tell you. He better change you, man. Oh, my God.
Bro, I got it all, G. I got the whole thing, bro.
You better get paid, fam. You gonna get paid.
See?
Their own dash cam camera was rolling when Hooksville police caught up with a man who was wanted on a domestic assault warrant. According to this federal lawsuit, Carlos Farrell's ex-wife, Tiffany, called police when she spotted him. She was there, standing in the background, when police officer Chris Melton ordered Farrell out of his car.
Put your hands up and get out of the car.
Mr. Farrell, get out of the car. Obviously, hands raised.
Ben Winters and attorney Blair Durham are representing Farrell. They say police used excessive force in June of last year when they arrested the 28-year-old. In the video, a police canine being held by Officer Jeff Johnson bites what appears to be a compliant Carlos Farrell.
This officer ate my leg off.
One of the officers that has control of the dog allows the dog to attack Mr. Farrell even after he's on the ground.
The attorneys also accused Cookeville police officer Chris Melton of planting drugs on their client.
Now the cops leave. Here's the hand signal.
Officer Melton searches Farrell's pockets at least a half dozen times. Then Durham says another officer appears to give a signal with his hand. Melton reaches into his own right pocket, looks into the camera, and Durham says that's when Melton puts a bag of marijuana into Farrell's pocket.
Whoa, Carlos!
Bad, dude.
No weed, bro. Now you got your other freaking charge. How about that?
Five Cookeville police officers are named in the suit. Melton is on administrative leave with pay.
If they can tell each other to plant drugs with just a hand gesture, just doing that, you've got to wonder how many other people have gone through this.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
True Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And I am in the chat room right now for all your questions and comments on tonight's topic, which is going to get really real.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
I just happened to take a couple of seconds and go back over the manifesto, and whew.
Yeah.
This is heavy.
Yeah, and before we jump into that, let's introduce our special guest. You guys remember him from our Trayvon Martin episode. He was the police officer who broke it down so real that people couldn't believe that he was actually a police officer saying this. But he is retired police officer Theo Brooks. Everybody, let's give him a big round of applause. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, Ray, Candace, and Devon? It's good to be
hey,
back.
Hey, Theo.
What's going on,
good
bro?
Good to have you right. with us. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, so we're talking about Officer Nightstick, that bad cop who all people always seem to have a story of running into that guy that just got the attitude that's just not right, don't be interested in helping somebody, and always just seems to wreck your day. So,
yeah.
Again, we want to hear from everybody else out there. I know you guys got an Officer Nightstick story from when you were driving, when you were young, Or you seen something happen to a family member, friend, whatever. We want to hear you guys' stories tonight.
Absolutely. I do, too.
So, yeah, you know, real quick, I'm going to ask you real quick, what is your thoughts on this story that's developing out here in L.A. with this Christopher Donner?
Well, Ray, one thing that I find it very interesting as I've been trying to follow it myself is that an officer who is familiar with administrative procedures is that if I'm wrong, you know, someone correct me, but I believe that this guy was fired for, if I'm not mistaken, he told on another officer who was committing, was actually aggressive or was violating another citizen's right, and somehow he was fired. Now, I never known that to happen, but I'm going to tell you, they do a whole lot of things different out there on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, you know, and LAPD doesn't have the greatest reputation, as we know,
right.
But for this guy to be fired, I mean, I think that's, that, you know, if he worked hard the same way I know that when I decided I wanted to become a police officer, that was a 3-year process, and for all of it to be taken away suddenly, and you know, by, I believe that was the captain's daughter that that he shot, you know, it's clearly displays that this guy has a lot of anger, and it's something that, as I was listening to you all earlier, mostly when they're at that stage, it's a lot that they know that they probably don't want the public to know about.
Right. So, let me ask you this real quick. Do you think that $1 million bounty on this guy, do you think that that's kind of justified, or do you think that that might be a, like, too much?
Well, I think that's it tells a couple things. One is that this guy, apparently his skills is so good, that means that they can't catch up with him, that they're dependent on the public in order to catch up with them.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah,
that's it.
This
it's like, it's almost like he just completely fell off the grid altogether. I mean,
right.
But he says that
in his manifesto too. He says, you know, I know everything that you're gonna do, and every place you think I'm gonna be, I'm not gonna be. And I heard they released the drones out into the desert trying to find him yesterday.
I think he's long gone. I'm gonna tell you what he did that was the smoothest thing. When he drove his car up to that where it was snowing, and it started to snow, and he burnt his truck. That all tracks where he walked were covered. So there was no way they can find him. So there's no telling where he is at this time.
Okay.
You know, and so that's why they threw that $1 million out, because basically, in so many words, they're saying, I can't find him. Can you please help me?
Okay.
I
maybe it's me because I'm just conspiratorial to begin with, but it just seems to me that they threw it out there because he said in his manifesto he dropped names like it was nothing and said he got plenty more, and it just seemed like they might want to just shut him up because I think if they catch up to him they ain't gonna take him alive.
Mm-mm. Well, I tell you, when someone's fired for reporting what another officer does. That goes to show you, well, in my opinion, almost, you know, I agree with you, Ray. It's kind of like still telling that the LAPD is not quite the department that they're supposed to be after the old Jason and Rodney King. You know, they still have some holes that they need to fix. And this guy, a black guy at that, who served this country, you know, apparently. They're showing that he knows something. Not only he knows something, but then he carried out his actions. And, you know, that's kind of embarrassing because, you know, who has heard of an officer being fired because he told on another officer what they did wrong?
Right.
I've never heard of that. I've heard the fix is in, which wouldn't surprise me, and something like that. But it was obvious that the fix was in to get rid of this guy. He probably what they call broke the code or blue out there.
That's what he says in his manifesto. That's exactly what he says in his manifesto. Is that's why they got him, because they say they told him that he broke the code of blue. RN Hot Topics said that they just reopened the investigation of his claims of corruption. So
of course,
they're doing that to draw him out.
Yeah, exactly. They say, look, we'll work with you. Now I'm letting you know.
Exactly.
So, nah, I mean,
it's too late. They damaged the man's career.
Right.
He will never be able to work as a law enforcement ever, at least in the state of California, but, you know, anywhere in the United States, when an officer is fired, unless it's a small town or a department that sees, you know, the same thing you and I see, and the commissioner say, hey, you know what, this guy was trying to do the right thing. That's that, you know, something going on, a mole in the LAPD, then, yeah, you know, they ruined this guy's career.
Yeah, but that won't happen either because, you know, he killed three people already.
Right.
He shot the chick, I think the chick that did the beating, and then I think he got two other cops.
But then again, like I was saying, it wouldn't even matter anyway because, I mean, if we're going to be honest here, he's a dead man any way it goes.
Yeah.
If they catch
and then,
him,
but then LA has messed up too. They shot up a car that looked similar to the car he was driving.
Sure did.
So they need to answer, to those two innocent people.
That happened
that
today.
Killed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying.
You're going to raise the award money now that you made a mistake, because if you notice, they quieted that quite a bit, what they did, but they were in the wrong. That was the wrong vehicle that they shot up. So it's two dead people that they killed. But they're going to try to pin it on this man either way it go.
Yeah, they're going to put it on him, saying he caused the panic. Yep.
Right, exactly.
818-514-1202. Come on, we want to hear you guys' stories. Or if you got any comments about what's going on right now with this guy, come on out and say it. Because, you know, it reminds me the way the press is being so cooperative, the media is being so cooperative with keeping this thing under wraps and only saying what the authorities want to say. To me, if I was a reporter, I'd be trying to find them, because to me that would be the scoop of the year, I would think. But
yeah, but at the same time,
his story reminds me of do you remember Serpico?
Serpico rings a bell.
Yeah, this was a New York police officer who refused to take bribes in the 70s, and his life was on the line because the cops felt, his fellow officers felt like they couldn't trust him because he refused to take a bribe. And his life was constantly on the line. They made a movie with Al Pacino about this dude back in the 70s, a big movie called Serpico.
Bingo, yeah, exactly. Right. And the East Coast has their, you know, their way. I think each region, you'll see that each region has their way of how they handle their departments, you know, and how they do their way of policing. Just like Chicago,
right.
You have I call him Brick City, their new superintendent, when he was out there with Corey in New York. I mean, even his style of policing, he's trying to bring it to Chicago, but every region has their own form of internal affairs and how they handle their cops when it comes to policing their own police.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one question, one thing I know I'm not familiar with is how LAPD polices their own police. And I can be honest, in this situation, I've never heard it. And actually, I mean, even if you're a person that understands the 10 codes, when you're sitting there looking at TV, and if you ever look at cops, you notice all of us, no matter where you are in the United States, even the 10 code is always different. Even here in Chicago, you know, the codes we use, say one code in the suburbs mean a wanted person, compared to in Chicago, one code, when they answer it, it means a one-man unit. So every police department is always different. And one thing for sure is that when it comes to talking about officers who are on the bad, if you don't have a good department, and actually our suburban departments in Chicago, when a person files a complaint, it goes to the chief. Now, every department I work for has its own internal affairs division, so that means that there was an independent person investigating your complaint. But then when you have someone that's not independent, a lot of your loose cops continue to stay loose, and they sit there and protect each other until, you know, you start seeing things on a videotape, such as the insert that you had played a little bit before we came on, where, you know, residents finally had that video camera to capture the true color of that department.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing for sure is that LAPD, and not to bash those guys, but, you know, think about it, that, you know, the Rodney King and all these other incidents has played out nationwide with them, you know, and how can they take that back, you know, and they have not, you know, I don't know what measures have they taken to even try to make it where a citizen or when these situations come about that they can suppress it before it gets out of control, because it eventually something got out of control to make this guy, who was apparently what you would consider a good cop, very angry.
Yeah, you know, something that he was saying in his manifesto is, you know, with the Rodney King beating and all the federal eyes on top of them, they had a dissent decree on them. And I guess the dissent decree was a number of things that they had to do to get the get trust, to reinstore trust with the people down there, and to eliminate corruption. And basically what he was saying is the dissent decree didn't work at all. He said all of those people who worked with the cops that beat up Rodney King, who worked with the people at the O.J. Simpson.
Promoting.
They all got promoted, and they're all your boss.
Yep.
They're all in charge, and he's saying it's business as usual, and that's what he was saying. And he said he waited till he went through the whole procedure of what he needed to do before the final judgment came down, and he was relieved of duty to see if he could get justice. And once he exhausted all of his options through the system, that's when he say snap.
Right. And you know, something else that when you mention about the same people being in charge, and this is when we go back to telling our people about voting, when you put the same people in the office or the same people who's trying to sugarcoat us, whatever community, whether you're African-American, Hispanic, you of the minorities, when they come and ask for our vote, we need to understand that if that's the city or town where police corruption is at, we have to understand, is that person going to make the change? Because really, when he gave that directive, the mayor of that city, of L.A., he's in charge of appointing commissioners and so forth and making sure that those things, the changes come about. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, look what happened with Cory Booker in New York. Now, apparently, The commissioner or our superintendent now wasn't working well in New York, but look what happens when you have somebody who's in charge and when they challenge a commissioner for not doing his job or the officers not doing their job. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to make sure that the person ahead, it all trickles down. It's a trickle-down effect, because if you got a politician that's crooked or a politician who's in on a take, He's going to play PR to cover up the town and just sacrifice the people on what's going on so he can keep his pockets fat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the shameful part about it, that it goes all the way up to the person that comes to your door and asks them for that vote. Because if the person who's the mayor, whoever they are, the mayor or the supervisor of the community, even if it's the sheriff of a community who doesn't have a municipality, if they do not make those changes within that department, it's the same people being shuffled around to take care of their buddies and same program. And if I'm not mistaken, it might have been here on the local news where police officers being off 2-3 years. I think WGN broadcasting it. 2-3 years with pay for corruption in Chicago. Yeah.
There you go. Now listen, look here. You're hearing it exactly from a former police officer. He giving it to you guys real. I want you guys to call in, hit him with some questions, tell your stories out there. When we get back, we're going to jump into everybody's encounters and stories when we come back from this message. True Brothers Radio.
Coolest nigga, what? That's enough.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I'm fearless, now hear this. I'm earless, and I'm peerless. That means I'm eyeless, which means I'm tearless, which means my iris resides where my ears is. Which means I'm blinded, but I'ma find it. I can feel its nearness, but I'm a veer, so I don't come near like a chicken or a deer. But I remember I'm not a listener or a seer, so my windshield smear. Here you steer, I really shouldn't be behind this, clearly cause my blindness.
Truth Brothers Radio.
If you join the Army, you'll get an education unlike any other. Every single day, people will try and kill you. That'll teach you lessons you'll never learn in school. Improvised explosive devices, snipers, suicide bombers. That's why there's never been a better time to enlist. In the Navy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
While them poor grunts are eating sand in the 130-degree heat, we're catching cool breezes on the big ships, learning mad skills, and getting some.
Oh.
That's right. Navy is co-ed, baby. Our lady sailors bathe every day in co-ed showers. I ain't lying, pal. Out here with the big guns, we can practically guarantee you won't die. Unless you party too hard. Call your Navy recruiter today. We'll pay for college, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg. Navy. Because joining the Army is just stupid.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers, True Brothers Radio, and we're back in the second hour discussing tonight police brutality, and we're currently discussing the situation with Christopher Dorner, the gentleman who is under a manhunt right now in the city of L.A. and throughout the United States. We're speaking with Theo Brooks. So, Theo, back to your point of this whole situation.
With Christopher, that the one thing that I want people to understand is that what he did, I'm definitely not going to sit here and say when it comes to killing that that's something that we should condone. But what we should, you know, what I one point that I want everybody that actually wants to see and understand is that there's some anger there. Someone who takes time out, not everybody can be a police officer. And one thing I have respect is a United States soldier, and that's what this guy was. He was a naval reserve.
Navy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
He served his country, and he was doing, it just seems he was doing all the right things. But it was something there that apparently he had to make a point. He had to make this point. And whatever point he was trying to make, he made it. Now, they're going to say this man is armed and dangerous. They're going to put $1 million over his head. That's because it's obvious that he knows the details, and usually someone like that who's been in that department, I don't know how many years of service he had within that department, but he knows something of that operation. And the embarrassment of, here's a guy who probably they knew this was coming but didn't do anything about it, or better yet, they should have never fired him, and to hurry up and when you put a bounty like that, that's pretty much saying a whole lot that they can't find them, they can't do their job of searching for them. Now, don't get me wrong, when you got the FBI involved, they're going to find you. But also at the same time, this guy has been on the move. He's been on the move. And if you know anything about law enforcement and military, you can look and tell that the moves that he has made as far as getting away, he's done it. He's not doing anything like, what was that football player, Ray Carew? You go sit there and shoot somebody. And then, you drive a couple hundred miles and go hide in your trunk. This guy's not doing that.
Yeah, no,
you know?
this is a professional soldier, and he knows how to get off of the grid. And that's what he's done. He's gotten completely off of the grid. He knows about your streetlight cameras, your ATM cameras. He knows about all of that stuff. But I want to get off him for a minute and get on just some on some of these cops in general and what to do when you're confronted with like a cop that's not so nice or just flat out bad. I remember when I was younger, man, I had got my first new car. And boy, I was 19, man. I thought I was doing it big, man. In the town that I lived in, there was a cop, man. He pulled me over damn near every day for a month about this car, just because he didn't like the fact of seeing a young black male in a brand new car. And he had serious beef. So after a while, you know, being a kid, I got frustrated and started fronting the dude. And got a nice billy club right to the side of my head for it, too.
Right, and you know what? That's not justified, Ray. One thing that I would have to say is that in all my years, 15 years, I've never gotten to any point that I felt that I had to hit a citizen at any time, you know, especially at that, you know, capacity where, you know, a kid, to me, and I guess I try to figure out, because as you remember when we had this conversation on the Trayvon Martin case when it came to dealing with officers and the generation that's changing here, I don't understand, and I think we're dealing with two elements. We're dealing with a generation of officers who are glad to see a young brother getting carry. Actually, right. I'm not even going to say it's a white-black because I've seen white officers come after young white kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I mean, I was shocked. I was thinking, okay, well, I thought it was only a black-white issue, but
yeah.
No, I think sometimes part of it is racial. I think that has a big key to it, but also I think it's a generation issue because
absolutely.
Sometimes
it's just the town wants to have that reputation. I'm going to go ahead and call them out. Man, it's always been known that South Chicago Heights will whoop you up, don't matter who you are. It's been always known that Richland Park, they've whooped up women before. And Frankfort, and there's not a black population in Frankfort, Illinois, and Frankfort is known for whooping you up if you out of line.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Right. There are clearly some departments where you cross the city limits coming out of Chicago. Yeah, absolutely. You have some that would actually make that point that you don't belong on this neck of the woods, that you need to go back where you belong. And some of them also make it a point that, you know what, if you're going to come out in this area and you're going to cause problems, we're going to inconvenience you by letting you sit
exactly.
downstairs in our lockup. And mm-hmm. they will do it. It's just
mm-hmm.
it's a presence, you know. And they do that. And some of the towns that you are mentioning, yeah, if you come from Chicago and you come with that type of demeanor, you can mm-hmm. expect some type of recourse where they're going to send a message that you will not want to come back to their town and do that again, you know. But
yeah,
when you're confronted by an officer. One thing that I recommend to everybody, whenever I have approached a vehicle, I've always approached the vehicle and I've always gave this exact quote, which is whether it's good morning or whether it's the morning or the evening, or I just simply may say, hello, ma'am or sir, may I have your license and proof of insurance and then we can begin why I stopped you. And in that case, I'm just asking to see who that person is to identify them before I go any further to discuss. Because sometimes you can approach a person and they are outright confrontational. If you say, hello, ma'am, I stopped you from speeding. May I have your license and proof of insurance? She's going to argue with you before you get started. And those things, officers, they're supposed to have training for that. To try to understand first that the people who you are stopping, they are human too.
Mm-hmm.
You may have had a bad day, but they may have had a worse day. Their mother may have passed away. They may have lost their job. I've stopped women who, you know, were just upset at something with their boyfriends and they're crying. And to be honest, I don't wear mascara, but they're crying and driving and not paying attention and, you know, and ma'am, did you know, you're okay? And, I mean, you know, not every person deserves a ticket. One thing that I tell young men, when you're walking down the street, the purpose of the sidewalk is to walk on. Don't walk in the street. You're giving the police every opportunity to stop you. And you can't get mad if he stops you because there is a law that says you can't walk in the street. And he's going to use his powers to inconvenience your freedom because of this confrontation.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why whenever I spoke at a school or I taught at my DARE classes, I always taught the kids, look, a lot of times, and me, myself, I can tell you I was a police explorer, wanting to be a police, and a Chicago cop stopped me. It was a foggy night. They did a raid in Chicago down the street where I used to live, and I was walking down the street. It was myself, my brother, and a friend, and the Chicago cop If you know Chicago, they have the plainclothes units. We call them slick boys. Mm-hmm. The slick boys jumped out of the car, had me, my brother. I mean, they were grabbing on us. You know, where are you coming from? What are you doing? And actually, one of them told my buddy, you know, I'll pop you with the flashlight. What you gonna do? And, you know, I said, well, you know, officer, I'm an explorer. We're not doing anything wrong. He said, I don't care who you are. And that bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Because here it is, I'm an explorer, and guess what? That next week, we're going to see you in your police station. And what are you going to tell my post commander about your attitude to one of her explorers? And those are the type of officers. Now, I will say this. Our demeanors, when you do not, we didn't escalate anything. I said, hey, my brother's a police explorer. I'm a police explorer. We're not doing anything wrong. But I guarantee you in the back of his head, he knew that if he put his hands on us or brought us into the station, his captain would question us.
Mm-hmm.
Our community service officer, who she was in charge of us as explorers, she would question him. So no officer wants to be tainted. Unless, mm-hmm. you know, if he doesn't have to be. But what it did was it did give us the opportunity to keep on walking where we're going instead of being punched on, being hit, or my buddy getting hit with that flashlight.
Right.
Because if you don't give them a reason, those type of officers, you know, I can tell you, Ray, hundreds of times the community I work, 10 guys used to be on the corner. You pull up, if they've known you long enough, half of them, before you even pulled up and rolled the window down, most of them will say, Brooks, we already know. And they'll disappear.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or better yet, if you're that cool cop, I used to say, hey, man, the slick boy's out. You better disappear until about 11 p.m. or something. And they'll disappear. That's the type of officer, and if you're on the level of speaking with our brothers and sisters that way, you're going to get that type of cooperation. But the problem is that what scares me is that when I was getting out of law enforcement, there's a breed that's coming in, and they have that S on their chest, and it makes me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we got a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and go to the caller. 770, you're on with the Truth Brothers and Theo Brooks. What's your name?
Yeah, you can call me Sarge. I'm a retired Illinois State policeman. I worked in the Cook County, Chicago area.
Hey, how you doing,
and,
sir?
Very good. I'm very familiar with what you're speaking of. And first of all, you know, this notion that, you know, black men are getting, you know, involved with the system at a disproportionate rate to other people. I mean, look, there may be wrongdoing on the part of the police. I will concede that. In fact, there is. I'm going to concede that. But the fact that the numbers are disproportionate shouldn't be surprising, given the fact that we know one of the most reliable indicators of disproportion is homicide. 48% of black people in the United States are 48% of the homicide victims are black people, and 96% of them are killed by other black people. So that is an example of disproportionate crime being committed in the black community. Why are we so surprised that a disproportionate number of those who compromise homicide offenders, people 18 and 34 years of age, are getting hassled by the police? I mean, why is this so amazing that we can't consider that there might be a disproportionate problem with crime generally in the black community? Because, in fact, there is.
All right. Well, you know what? I can't even argue with you on
right.
that fact. And
yeah,
we've said that on this show before, that, you know, a little message to black people, that if you wouldn't be so quick to kill yourself, wouldn't your enemy won't be so quick to kill you. You're right. They'll have a harder time trying to attack the black community if we won't be so quick to attack ourselves. So I can't argue with you on that point.
Let me also submit something for your consideration here, sir. Now, this does not mean that police officers are not obligated to follow the rules. The laws on the use of force, and every police officer is taught the use of force continuum. I'm sure your officer there can tell you what that is. The use of force continuum, on what level of force is appropriate for what level of resistance. And every police officer is both legally and morally obligated to follow the proper use of force at all times. You're not supposed to get badge heavy. You're not supposed to impose your idea of law and order and justice. You're supposed to do what the law says. I know it can be difficult. It was hard for me. But I do believe I fulfilled my oath of office, and I did it most of the time. But that didn't mean I had to be nice all the time. I had to be legal, and I had to be strong. Well, I get a lot of background.
Hello?
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 Can you hear that background?
About the iPhone is that if you want to know where your ex-girlfriend is at any moment, there's an app for that. Or if you want to check her personal calendar so you can accidentally run into her and give her a chance to take you back, there's an app for that. And if you want to set up automatic late-night calls so she knows you're always thinking about her, well, there's an app for that. And if you need an attorney with a proven record of fighting restraining orders, there's an app for that. But if the judge can't appreciate your love for her and you're required by state law to move on, there's an app for that. And if you need to buy a car with enough horsepower to drive off a cliff so that she comes to your funeral and gives a eulogy about what a great guy you were and then breaks down and cries as she realizes that no other man will ever make her as happy as you did, and that now she's destined to die, a lonely old cat lady, because she was too stupid to see what she had when it was right in front of her. Yeah, there's an app for that, too. That's the iPhone, solving life's dilemmas, one app at a time.
Sorry about that interference. We had one of our phones go out, but we're back on. And I'm going to put you back on, Sarge 60, because I want you to finish your comment. So you're back on with us, sir.
Thank you, sir. Look, as I was saying, you know, at times, you know, police work is like making sausage. It's ugly. You don't want to see it getting made, but everybody wants to eat it when it's done, because everybody wants to have a law and order and peace in their communities. But I'm going to tell you about one thing about, you know, police brutality. And people talk about, oh, the brothers who get jacked up and the brothers who get beat up all the time. Well, I'm going to tell you about an example of police brutality that I did witness and that I regret not having done enough of, even though I did make an official complaint about it. Now, I'm an Illinois State policeman, and there was an Illinois State refueling station or maintenance station. Actually, I don't know if you're familiar, but it's 35th and Shields near Comiskey Park. That's where it used to be. And I went there to refuel my squad there. And a guy almost ran me into the viaduct as I was going there. You know, car weaving all over the road, I had to take evasive action. He almost ran me in the viaduct, and I turned around to pursue him. He got on the expressway at 35th Street and headed south. I got on the Illinois State Police Emergency Radio Network, said I was in pursuit, car failure to yield, wouldn't stop. and I asked for help from any units that could respond. The city responded. They sent a bunch of cars out there to help me. We got the guy in a rolling roadblock, pulled him over sometime out near Riverside, out near I-80. You know, I-80 and Dan Ryan. Well, actually, Bishop Ford Expressway, because that's where we went. We went through the Bishop Ford Expressway. That's where we got him pulled over. These city cops went over to this guy's van, opened the door, ripped him and the seat out of the van, threw him on the shoulder of the expressway. They ripped the seat. I'm saying they ripped the seat out of the van.
Oh, my goodness.
They threw him on the shoulder of the expressway. They started to kick and stomp this guy. You know what they were saying to him? You don't run from the police, you mother. You know, and they were whacking this guy all the time, batons, fists, feet, everything. And me and my partner, we looked at each other saying, they're going to kill this guy. And we went up to him and said, well, we think they've had enough, officer. We'll take him now. See, we're the one that initialized the pursuit, and we managed to get him away from him and all the beating they're putting on this guy. And he was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned white man. First name was Stanley. His last name was a Polish name, and I couldn't say it. It began with a Z, and we put him in the car. And you know why they beat him? Because he ran from the police. You run from the police at 10. It doesn't make it right, but I'm saying that's what happens. And, you know, when people say the only reason police beat somebody is because it's a black man and get the hand, that just ain't true.
No, we didn't. But we didn't say that. We just, matter of fact, before you called, we just gave a whole list of Illinois towns that are known for getting rough with people, and it's not just black people. So we know that. But we're saying
it's everywhere around.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just the fact of, to me, I think more or less that it's the fact that it does happen. It's not. I mean, you got more, and I don't want to be sound like a racist, but you got more white rebels who don't have the fear. I think a lot of times brothers have a fear of kind of standing up to the police because they know that they're quicker or feel that they're quicker to attack them than they feel that the white person will. And I'm not trying to sound racist, but it's a feeling that they can get away with a little more than what we could.
Right.
And I spent 28 years on the job. You know what? In the aggregate, I'm not talking about every single instance. In the aggregate,
right,
most police officers did their duty under extraordinary provocation, you know, and used force that was entirely appropriate. I was in the aggregate, not in every single instance. Please.
But from the outside looking
in. I'm talking about in the most part, most police officers take the oath of their office seriously. And I'm willing
to
do it.
And I'm sure anybody who took that oath does take it seriously. But from the outside looking in, to say that, I mean, a person who does not know what the necessary force is, or a person who does not understand, okay, where is the line, anything can be taken as excessive force, especially if considering now that you're in the information age when you have cameras around. And who's to say that these things that have happened that we are seeing now, just because it's on YouTube, on Skype, on all these other video websites, who's to say that this wasn't happening before? Now, it's not taken away from what you're saying about you feeling as if you've used necessary force, nothing extreme, nothing over the top, but it's the fact that it has been done, it's still being done.
Let me give you a perfect example of what happened to me just before I retired, about 2 years before I retired, of what happened to me. And it could have gone either way, and, you know, and you could have had any number of community groups saying something didn't happen. You know, a cop just shot an unarmed man. Here's what happened to me. So I know this happened to me personally. A woman, I was going to the Thompson Center downtown. A woman came up to me and said, "That guy, he stole my purse." And I said, "Who is that man?" I mean, she pointed out a young man. He said, "Last week he knocked me down, he took my purse." So I go up to the man, I'm going to make a stop, Terry stop, and ask him a few questions. He ran. So I'm chasing him. I chased him about two blocks. He went down to Cook County building, a parking garage. Went down there. I lost sight of him in the basement. I knew he had to be hiding under the car because I didn't hear any doors slam or anything. I'm looking up under the cars. I see his feet. I pull out Mr. 9mm, and I say, "Okay, out of the car with your hands up, slowly." He comes out. He's got no weapon. He's got his hands up. He said, "Man, I ain't did nothing." And he's walking toward me. I'm telling him, "Stop, don't move, turn around, put your hands in." He's steady walking toward me. I got Mr. 9mm on his chest. He's steady walking toward me. I'm telling him to stop. So I'm making a decision. I see no weapon. He's got no weapon.
But
he's walking toward me. He's a robbery suspect. What should I do? I elected to put Mr. 9mm back in the holster, snap the Class 3 holster back, lower strap, top strap, and me and him went at it hand to hand.
Okay.
Now, I took him down. I got him under arrest. But when I got him in, I said, look, I'm going to charge you with a resistance to a peace officer, battery to a peace officer, attempt, you know, all this other stuff, along with, of course, you know, he had the charge, the robbery charge, the strong-arm robbery charge that I was going to hang him. But I said, I just got to know. I'm not going to charge you with this, but I got to know for my peace of mind. Were you going to try to take my gun away from me? And he admitted, yeah, he was. He said that's the reason he kept, because he was going to try to disarm me because he was a two-time loser. This would be his third time, and you know, in Illinois, three-time felony, you've got a big, long beast, Class X stretch. I forget what it is. Now, I forgot what it was, but he was going up for a long time, third strike.
Oh.
So he was going to, now, if I'd have dropped the hammer on him, what do you think some community groups might say? Cop shot an unarmed man.
Okay.
We all know if you're trying to be disarmed, an attempt to disarm a peace officer
is
justification for the use of deadly force.
Okay, what we're saying is no. The man proposed a threat to you when you told him to stop, and he kept charging you. At that point, you're defending yourself because you being a law enforcement person, you're telling somebody to stop. Don't come any closer. And he's admitted he would have did that, which when you were telling the story, I was like, okay, he's in the wrong. You told him to stop. If he would have stopped and then you subdued him, had him in cuffs, and then you did something to him, that's what I mean by excessive force. And
right,
that's what I received.
Also, Bill, you are still on with us, bro. You are still on, so we want your input. And all we're saying is, of course, cops have a very hard job. Of course, cops walk a very thin line, and public perception is a big part of that. But at the same time, when you got a dude on the ground and you're beating him, or you're tasing a dude that's already on the ground, or you're pepper spraying a bunch of kids whose hands are locked in a protest, that can definitely be perceived as excessive force.
In the back, when you have a kid cuffed in the back of a police car and he shot himself, how does
right.
that happen?
Exactly. But Theo, go ahead and jump in there. And thank you, Sarge 60, for your comments, man. It was definitely appreciated. Thank you for the call. But go ahead, Theo.
Yeah, Sarge made one point as he was, I think every cop has his story that sticks out in the back of his head. I had an incident where I was on a domestic, and the young man was 18 years of age, and he wanted to move or leave his father's house. And my partner and I were standing in the living room, and I noticed the father kept walking from side to side. I told him, hey, Dad, you need to calm down. The guy is 18. He can walk out, you know, if he wants to. It's his choice. Well, lo and behold, the guy reaches over, and I see his hand, and then actually it was during the wintertime, and those police officers know that back in the day when we used to wear the old cloth coat with that comes down to your waistline with the zipper where your gun at least comes hang out. Well, mine, I unfortunately didn't have a level 3 like Sarge. I wore a level 2, which would cock back on my hip. But the guy reaches for the weapon. And, you know, as he reaches for the weapon, my instinct was to punch him. And we're punching, we're fighting, we go over on the couch, cuff them, and so forth. But out of that whole deal, that guy only got two years probation. And he gave a written confession. Yeah, I was going to take Officer Brooks' gun because I was very angry. I was very angry that he was allowing my son to leave the house, and I didn't want nobody to leave the house that night. That was the mindset of that subject. And so that's the use of force. And Sarge, one thing too, Sarge brought up a point. He's talking about the frequency is burned. We all monitor that. But, yes, you know, I've seen situations where we get on is burn. And one thing I have to say, state police are very disciplined men. And so when Sarge told the story, I know Sarge will go by the book. But, you know, there are moments where we have Chicago cops that will prove that point, you know, that will pull somebody out the car. And I think that's, you know, I can understand his point on that as far as, you know, whether it's black or white. But just like you said, I think we had covered that already to say that there are some that I don't think it's sometimes a race thing. I think it's a generational thing, and then at some point it's a race thing. And I think that we
go
as
ahead,
people
Ken.
Need to pay attention exactly to, you know, when we have these encounters, when we speak to the police, understand this, you have your right. And as Sarge was saying, that, you know, every officer knows his boundary. But if an individual is speaking correctly, he didn't break any laws, there's no reason for his car to be searched. If a person is walking down the street minding his own business, he can't be taken in, you know, you can't be stopped and taken to jail for nothing. These are the things that our young men and young kids need to understand when it comes to dealing with law enforcement and confronting, as we go back to the original thing when it comes to this, that Officer Nightstick.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to be or in no confrontational with an individual. And if I'm correct, every officer can tell you that he only deals with 5% of the public. He doesn't deal, you know, once in a while, he 95% of the other people are good people. I can promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have that 5% he deals with every day, and there are some officers that cannot distinguish when he is dealing with outside that 5%. Go ahead, Candace.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're running out of time here. But I want to throw something out there to you. You brought up a couple of things that reminded me of a situation that I was personally in about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on I-57. I'm going to go visit a family member. I have my 8-year-old daughter in the car with me at the time. So we're going into the city, and as we're on the expressway, I noticed a state trooper that had someone pulled over. He had just finished with them, and he was merging onto the expressway. Well, I noticed him, you know, no big deal. So I'm driving along, and I'm in the far left-hand lane, traveling northbound. Far left-hand lane, he's in the center lane, and he's about maybe a good 1,000 yards back. So as we're driving along, maybe about a good 3 miles, there's a emergency vehicle, a motorcycle, that's off on the left shoulder, and they had someone pulled over. So I see them there, and I'm trying to merge over to my right to get out of their way. At this time, the state trooper who was behind me 1,000 yards has now sped up, and he is now parallel with me, so I can't move over. And
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at him, and I'm confused as to why he's blocking me in. And so once we finally passed the motorcycle that was on the shoulder, he pulls me over. He pulls me over, and he's rude. He's very rude, African-American man, just, you know, just for the sake of the story. And, you know, he says, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, absolutely not. I said, I don't even know why you would let me get over when I was trying to, you know, get away from that emergency vehicle. So he takes my information, he goes away, he comes back, and he hands me a citation, two of them. One for speeding. Well, he gave me a warning for the speeding, but the other one, he said I violated Scott's law. Not knowing what Scott's law was, I went home and I researched it, and that's when you know, you strike or you kill either a construction worker or emergency vehicle, you know, an officer or something of that sort. And I said, wait a minute, I didn't do this. I said, he blocked me in. I couldn't get over. So I kind of felt like I was being set up. So anyway, I have an officer friend who I consulted with about it and asked, what should I do? Because I have to go to court for this. that officer told me, well, maybe you should plead guilty. And I said, well, wait a minute, I didn't strike anybody. I didn't do this. He says, well, you know, if you plead not guilty, that, you know, that's going to double your fine and, you know, it could get really ugly. I said, but I didn't do this. But to make a long story short, I ended up going to court and I stood on my principle. I did not do it. I pled not guilty. But the thing that was bone chilling to me is when I was in that courtroom and the judge called the case, he looked at the docket and then looked up at me over his glasses when he read the charge, you know, as if this was something serious. And it just horrifies me. It horrified me at that point in time to think that, you know, if I plead guilty, I could possibly go to jail because that's exactly how I felt. Well, anyway, my case got called up. The officer had to state his case. And I didn't have to say one word because the judge said, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that this happened. Did she hit anybody? Well, no, but she... So he dismissed the case because he gave me the wrong charge.
Good job.
He gave me the wrong charge. So I ended up getting my license back, and it was the whole experience just, it frightened me because if I would have pled guilty to that,
right,
you know, no telling what my future could have been because he wanted to be a jerk. I was prepared to say everything that he did. But it just seems like, you know, some officers do that. They purposely try to trap you or put you in a situation where you're going to want to defend yourself.
Yeah.
It's a very fine line.
Right. And I know we have 3 minutes, and I'm going to squeeze something in very quickly. Number one, when he was 1,000 yards behind you, I'm going to tell you what he was doing. He was pacing you. So he paced you from behind. That's when he turned around and wrote you that warning ticket. But then at the same time, he did write you the wrong citation when it came to actually, I don't even know why he wrote that. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it's supposed to be you're supposed to yield. I can't remember exactly the statute because, I mean, all of us do it. If an emergency vehicle on the road or a trooper on the road, we get out the way because we don't want to hit that worker or a trooper.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah. So, but also at the same time, and I think I made a point to this when I spoke to Ray, when he asked me to do this again, number one, because somebody writes you a ticket or asks you to get out your car, doesn't mean, number one, you have to accept it. Or, you know, which you did the right thing. You did not accept what he accused you of doing. And you were prepared to state your case, which he would not have been able to articulate that. And I was hoping that's what you were going to tell me, because he would not have been able to articulate that charge he gave you on your ticket. And also at the same time, when a police officer is asking you to step out the car, for what reason is he asking you to do this? Or... for some young men, you know, it's good to always be honest to say, yes, I have this or I have that, you know, but most police officers do that too. You know, if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. But just understand that sometimes, yeah, it's almost a trap. You know, someone's going to get you. Now, me, I'm going to be honest. If before the bag of weed became a big deal, I felt it was a waste for someone to have a bag or two of weed to waste my time bringing you into the station to book you. It just didn't make sense. But you're right, Candace. What you did was right. I didn't understand. You know, I don't understand why some officers do that. When I got my first ticket, I was 19. The officer wrote me a ticket for everything. I got put over on 87th and Dan Ryan. He wrote me no seatbelt, no sticker, no insurance. He wrote me about 6-7 tickets. But at the end of the day, he dropped, or the state dropped half of them, and I paid a $45 supervision and got a city sticker, and I was done. That was my first and last ticket I would say that I hope I get in my life. You know, but
right.
You know,
well,
but it's all about you know, how, you know, but no matter how ignorant they get, we must remain composed and let the officer show his butt, not you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Well, thanks, man. You, again, you have been a wonderful guest. And I think we're going to have to do a part two. I think we're going to have to get together tonight and talk about doing a part two to this. Because I want to thank everybody for calling in. And when we had our little technical trouble, we lost about 4 phone calls because they thought we might have been done for the day. So I think we really need to do a part two. So I want to thank you, man, for coming on, man. It was really great. We appreciate it. Sarge, thanks for calling in. We're going to do a part two. So I definitely want you to be on the lookout and come back in with your comments, man. Appreciate it having you on.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Candace and Devon. Great hearing from all of you all.
Thank you, all right. Theo.
Yeah, so again, we got another one in the can, guys. Let's go ahead and get ready to wrap this up, man. Thanks to everybody who called, and we're going to let you know, if you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace.
Two fingers up.
Peace.